Hello, everybody. This is Burt Middleton, the Gout Killer, and it is 12 o'clock straight up noon here in Denver, Colorado. We have finally thawed out, and I think it got down to 16 below last night. It's been unbelievable for the last few days. It's the last day of the year, December 31st, 2014, and we're getting ready to start 2015. It's going to be the best, most gout-free year of your life, if I have anything to do with it. And today, the topic that I threw out there was the best exercise for gout. And as you all know, as well as I do, that when you're having a gout attack, exercising at all is kind of like something you can't even imagine thinking about. But the best exercise for gout, to prevent gout is more specifically what it is the very most simple thing, and that is our basic mode of transportation, and that is walking. And so there are so many different things that we can take advantage of in so many easy ways if we just get out there and walk consistently every week. And there are a number of different things that I just want to throw out there that are so important to gout in terms of preventing gout that can be taken care of by walking. And the first one is blood oxygen saturation. It's like when we keep our blood oxygen saturation up, then it is much less likely that our blood will become acidic. And our blood can become acidic with low blood oxygen saturation. It can become acidic with many different things, including uric acid. A lot of us don't breathe very well in our sleep, and that is a big explanation as to why so many people wake up with a gout attack, or else they get gout attacks in the middle of the night. There is a big correlation between sleep apnea and gout. And that's what really got me on this whole thing. It's where I start. I don't even start with food, you know, trying to help people with gout. I try to get people to breathe better first and then start drinking more water, and then we start talking about food. But walking is one of the best ways to really get your blood oxygenated and sort of train your body to keep your blood oxygenated. So the next thing about what we can do, what walking does for us, is that it can help us to lose weight. I mean, what is simpler than taking a walk around the block, taking a walk through the park, parking as far away as you can in the parking lot to walk into your work? So just getting more walking in a consistent way is an easy way to do something about managing weight. And there are so many different connections between excess weight and creating a condition of gout that walking, again, is the simplest, best exercise for dealing with gout. The other thing that I wanted to kind of throw out there is that so many people have told me, and I've kind of made a big deal out of it for many years, is that there is such a connection between stress and gout. And while cortisol, which is manufactured by our adrenal glands, which do so many important things in our bodies, when we have excess cortisol and we're dealing with stress on an ongoing basis, the net result is that we create a very overly acidic inner environment, and it just creates the right environment for gout to happen. So walking, just taking a walk around the block on your lunch hour every morning or every evening or every other day, you know, walking for 10 minutes at a time, walking for a half an hour at a time, whatever you can squeeze in to your weekly schedule can have a profound effect on how you physically handle stress. And the net result of that also is that you're going to handle your emotional and your mental stress along with it. So that is another big way that just the simple best exercise for gout is walking. The other one, the one that I was really wanted to throw out there and really get people thinking about is that in our body we have blood, and we have this whole network of blood vessels, and we have all of this blood that runs through them, and the heart pumps it all around. Well, following all of those blood vessels are the lymph system. And as a matter of fact, there is more blood, I mean, there is more lymph and lymph fluid and lymph vessels in our bodies than there is blood and blood vessels. The only weird thing about it is that there is actually no pump to pump it all around, like the cardiovascular system has the heart. The lymph system really depends on our movement. And the biggest lymph vessel in our whole bodies is the thoracic duct, and it's right in between our lungs. And if we're really working our lungs hard, if we're really breathing fully, deeply, and completely, it kind of squeezes and presses that thoracic duct, and it helps to move that lymph all around through our body. And why is that important? So it is important because that lymph is where all kinds of metabolic wastes that can clog up the body and create a lot of acidity that can be an end result of gout, that's how it all gets transported for removal, for elimination. So keeping our lymph system healthy is a big way to take care of gout. And also just the whole idea of taking care of the toxicity and the acidity that comes from toxicity, the lymph system is majorly important. So getting that good, strong breathing going and getting all of that muscular squeezing going on just from simply walking briskly and swinging your arms, that is a big, big deal in terms of keeping the lymph system healthy. So, and finally, just to kind of round out the whole idea of why walking is like the simplest, best exercise for preventing gout, and that is walking can be very meditative. And meditation, even though, you know, to a lot of people, meditation is some weird, off-the-wall sort of thing you do, you know, weird people do, but meditation can be as easy as walking. Or it can be as easy as sitting upright in a chair and just breathing fully, deeply, and completely. Just calming your body and calming your mind is a big thing that we can do to help reduce the risk and the chance and the likelihood of gout. So I kind of hope that was what you need to start your whole brand new year tomorrow of 2015. And right now, I just want to open it up and see if anybody has anything to add, any questions, any comments, any big wins for the year of 2015, how little you got, 2014, how little you got gout, and what your big plans are for not getting gout in 2015. So, anybody want to speak up? I know you're out there.
Hey, Bert, Rob from Mobile.
Hey there, Rob. Thank you for being on the call.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having it. I would say the big win for me in 2014 was just knowing what to do to try to prevent gout and knowing that I knew what to do if I started getting an attack. That just having the mindset of knowing more about what's going on is a big deal for me.
Awesome. Awesome, man. Yeah. Isn't that wild how just a little bit of education and a little bit of knowing and understanding kind of changes the whole gout game?
It really, really, really does. It's a paradigm shift for me. I'm so much more comfortable with the whole situation now than I was 2 years ago.
Awesome. Cool. And okay. So going... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, my name is John Graves.
Okay, John it is?
Hey, this is John.
Hey, John, how's it going today?
It's going reasonably well. I'm having the trouble getting the swelling down after a gout attack, and I almost can't walk on the other side. And I'm wondering if you have any ideas what to do.
As a matter of fact, I do. I'm the gout killer.
Okay.
You know, I'm not sure how much of my stuff you've absorbed or, you know, I mean, I've been writing stuff and talking about gout and knowing what to do about gout for a lot of years, and I've tried to put out several educational, informational pieces that I promote on my website, and one of them is my ebook called Kill Your Gout Now. And also there's an educational video-based program called Kill Your Gout for Good. But
I've done both of them.
Okay.
And I didn't find anything on post-attack swelling.
So it seems like the attack has gone completely, but you still have swelling? Is that what you mean?
Right. I still have swelling.
Uh-huh.
And I'm you know, getting pretty discouraged. I spent about the last six, you know, I spent 6 months this year hobbling around after gout attacks.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I've had three attacks, one in May, which took me about 2 months to recover from, and then in September I had an attack, and subsequently had another. But I have never really fully recovered. My feet are just swollen, and you know, and very painful.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So let me dig into this a little bit with you. I mean, this is the kind of thing that, you know, when people work with me for nutritional therapy, this is
mm-hmm.
kind of like the kind of line of work that the kind of line of logic that we go through. First of all, what is your age?
I'm 69.
Okay. And what is your weight right now?
I weigh 171 pounds.
Okay. When you were 18, how much did you weigh then?
Oh, 104.
Okay. All right. Okay. And so we got a little weight between now and then, but there's a lot of years in between. In regard to what your diet has been in the recent past, say over the last 3 years, tell me about what you do for eating good, healthy fat.
Okay, for what? Good, healthy fat?
Or good, healthy good, fat.
Okay. I eat an organic diet.
Mm-hmm.
I typically eat a lot of vegetables.
Okay.
A good part of my diet has been based on beans, although in the last 3 months I haven't eaten that many beans.
That's
my wife and my doctor have tried to convince me that I might do better on a kind of a paleo diet, but
mm-hmm.
Typically, I have a stir fry, a vegetable stir fry in the morning, which would be, you know, typically is onion and zucchini and bok choy, and if I have other greens around, I will add that to it. Lunch is normally a salad that is principally romaine. And that's where I added the beans as a salad dressing. I made a salad dressing out of beans and hot sauce. And dinner, typically, had a little meat in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
With vegetables.
Okay.
I've pretty much gone off of potatoes. And I'm beginning to work all of the nightshades out of my diet.
Okay. Well, so here's kind of just my you know, big overview of you know, what little I know of what's going on with you specifically at this point. But, you know, when you say you have a stir fry to begin with, and then you have a salad at lunch, like, what do you use as an oil when you stir fry, and what do you use as maybe an oil on your salad dressing?
I use organic sesame seed oil for the stir fry, and
okay.
I use organic olive oil for the salad dressing.
Okay, that's good. So here's the reason why I ask, because most of us over the last 40 years have been hoodwinked into thinking that fats are bad and that if we eat fat, then we're going to get fat, and nothing could be further from the truth. We've been inundated with crappy, trans-fatty, hydrogenated fats coming from all kinds of weird directions, especially in processed foods, and our hormone production, quality, and communication depend completely on a good, healthy fat intake on a daily basis. Now, one of the hormones that we create, a hormone-like substance, are prostaglandins. And prostaglandins, also called eicosanoids, have everything to do with how well we healthfully inflame and anti-inflame. So, you know, just as an example, if you worked with me as a nutritional therapy, you know, we worked on your nutrition together, then we would be making an assessment of how balanced you are with fatty acids. And most people these days are very fatty acid deficient, and it accounts for why a lot of people have joint problems. So that's one thing. One area we might look at, one thing you might do. I mean, you know, my idea to you would be start using more butter, really good coconut oil, keep using a lot of that good olive oil, and I would be doing my stir fry in something more like coconut oil rather than sesame oil. I'd be using the sesame oil like as a finish after the food has been cooked. Just for the flavor, because it's a more delicate oil than you can believe. It's actually, you want to use those saturated fats for those high heat kind of things. But also be getting a little bit of grass-fed beef. And when I say a little bit, you know, you probably should be doing something more like maybe 4 ounces at a time, or free-range chicken or wild-caught salmon. Because you
I eat a lot of chicken. I don't eat much beef. I eat a lot of wild caught salmon and other wild caught fishes. Hang on, I'm trying to get my phone up. My wife just walked into the room. So
okay. She's keeping an eye on you?
No, we work together on this thing, and she has some questions that we'll get to in just a second. But, you know, what really confuses me is I eat what I consider to be a pretty damned healthy diet. I've just in the last 2 weeks have started juicing fairly heavily with grapefruit juice, celery juice, carrot and spinach. So those are the four juices that I'm drinking fairly regularly at this point, and I try to get all four of them in a day. We do use coconut oil both externally and internally. A lot of the stuff that we cook is cooked with coconut oil, but I don't use it for my quick fry, you know, my stir fry in the morning. Excuse me. We do use it in other places in our diet, and I do use butter. I'm not afraid of using butter.
Awesome.
And, you know, we buy organic butter. So we're very much on an organic diet. You know,
okay.
We're trying to keep the amount of, you know, the amount of pollutants out of the food as best we can.
Man, that is great. I'm glad that you said that. You know, the other thing that I was going to ask you is, how are you doing on your water consumption and your hydration?
I'm getting about 2.5 to 3 quarts in me a day.
That's great. That's excellent. So, relatively speaking, the swelling that doesn't seem to subside, it's been going on since this gout attack that kind of started in May. How was everything?
In September.
Okay. All right. So you got over the gout attack in May, and you were able to get the swelling down. But since September, it's been persisting.
It's been persistent, and it's gone through at least 2 episodes of gout since September. Uh-huh. And I haven't changed my diet. One of the things that happens is that, you know, when your feet get swollen, you have to adapt your walking. And so you get everything out of alignment, and that gets, you know, so you start using the good foot, you know, to make up for what you can't do with the bad foot. And then, you know, and I'm having a real problem with one of my ankles now because of that kind of thing. It's like I pulled an Achilles tendon as part of an adaption. And, you know, so it kind of just goes back and forth. And I'm right at the moment really discouraged. I don't want more to say.
Well, you know, here's let me kind of put it this way, is that there could be any number of all kinds of different things going on, and, you know, we'd have to dig into it deeper to know for sure, but it sort of sounds like the gout attacks are gone, right? I mean, you don't feel like you're having a gout attack. You just have
The last attack I had was last week, and I went through the get the gout out routine, the baking soda
and the formula.
Yeah.
Okay.
Formula and went through that and got the pain out.
Okay.
But I haven't gotten the swelling down.
So, what I wonder about is, this is early on when I first started getting gout, and I was kind of keyed into my MD, who was a great MD in Santa Fe, New Mexico. His name was Dr. Rogers. The way he put it to me that kind of stuck with me is, every time you get a gout attack, it's like injuring that joint. And so having these joint injuries, you know, I wonder, especially at your age, whether or not, you know, you're getting some kind of residual sort of like nerve damage, and that nerve damage is persisting. And, you know, there could be any number of things that might work, and there might be something specific that works particularly for you. You know, that's something that would need to be looked into deeper in many different ways. But what have you taken advantage of, any kind of massage work? Have you used topical treatments, like using different kinds of liniments and things like that to try to calm that down?
I have been putting, in the last couple of weeks, I've been putting wintergreen and a mixture of wintergreen oil and castor bean oil on my feet.
Okay.
And as a topical remedy, I have, during part of this process of recovery, I have seen a chiropractor who's done some adjustments.
Good. Excellent.
But it doesn't seem to lead to anything that seems to be more permanent.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, so,
so does it hurt when you massage, like if someone, like you say your wife, massages your feet?
Yes.
Does that hurt?
Yes.
So there is pain when she's doing that.
There is pain in the balls of my feet, yes.
Uh-huh, okay. All right, and so after the massage, even though it hurts when she's doing massage, does it feel better after after she's done?
We haven't really done that.
Uh-huh, okay.
So I don't have an answer to that question. I can tell you that it hurts to touch my feet.
Okay. So have you taken advantage of soaking your feet in Epsom salt to try to relieve this swelling and this pain?
No, I have iced my feet from time to time.
Uh-huh, okay. Well, you know, again, I mean, there could be any number of different things that may help, but, you know, it just sounds like there's almost sort of like, you know, you've had the gout attacks and it's kind of worked those nerves over, and this is a, sort of a holdover or residual from that. But, you know, one of the things that you could do is in good warm water with Epsom salts, be soaking your feet, and you may even try soaking your feet and alternating back and forth with wrapping ice packs in towels. And so go from soaking your feet in the Epsom salts. Yeah, hot and cold, back and forth.
Yeah.
And
I've done that once.
That does.
Two buckets.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other question I have is there any advantage to continuing taking the applesauce, the apple cider vinegar, after the gout pain has dissipated?
I'm glad you said that because I wanted to get to that. A big thing, you know, here's kind of an interesting thing that a lot of people don't really kind of grasp that well. Is that, you know, you're eating really good food. You're probably spending, you know, good money on getting organic food, as you should be. You should be getting the best quality food that you can. I mean, you know, lots of people, we all spend our money on a lot of foolish things, and organic food is not one of them. So that is a good thing. But interestingly enough, most of us probably are not digesting, absorbing, assimilating the foods that we eat as well as we could be. And so just because you're eating good foods doesn't mean you're digesting them very well. And more specifically, in terms of digestion, a big sort of starting point for why, you know, from as far as my theories go, is that people end up with gout is that they're not digesting and breaking down the proteins, therefore the purines, which ends up as the uric acid, very well. And so digesting proteins and breaking them down is a big deal, and that is where the enzymatic and probiotic effect of using apple cider vinegar consistently can be a big help over the long run.
Okay, so, how often do you think I ought to take it?
You know, there are a couple different ways that I can recommend, you know, you can use it in a whole bunch of different ways, and getting creative with it is totally the thing to do. But, you know, you might do your first glass of water in the morning with a couple of tablespoons of apple cider vinegar in it. A really good thing that you can do with every meal, if you want to, is just a really small amount of water with, say, a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar in it, and you just sip on that as you eat your meal, because that helps break down that food and helps that whole enzymatic probiotic thing going on in the guts, in the whole gastrointestinal system. And you could also be using it as the vinegar on a salad dressing. So, you know, those are just three easy ways to use that. So that's kind of the first things off the top of my head.
We have recently started, I don't know, for about a month now, we've been working on in fact, longer than a month. Well, maybe it's a month, maybe it's a little longer, on the specific carbohydrate diet. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Tell me more.
Well, it's a diet that was developed in the early part of this of the 19th century. I don't know, probably in the 1930s to 1950s, which deals with trying to get the probiotics in your diet going. So a good portion of the diet is involved in eating a yogurt, which we prepare out of whole cream, out of heavy whipping cream. It eliminates certain carbohydrates, and it starts really with just wiping out all the nightshades. And okay. So we've taken out all the nightshades. Let's see, we've taken out, really all the whites. It's a 24-hour, and my wife is saying the yogurt is prepared over a 24-hour period, so you keep it warm and ferment it for like 24 hours.
Excellent.
But it gets rid of all of the sugars except for honey. So honey's the only allowable sweetener, unless you go to artificial ones like stevia, which we don't do. So we've done a lot of work on. It's for IBS. It's for irritable bowel. So I've had an irritable bowel symptom. I've been working with an irritable bowel symptom problem now for probably about 3 years, and it's. This routine seems to more stabilize my intestinal, my intestines than anything else we've done. And I don't know if these last gout attacks are part of the detoxing that goes on with, having started all this real change in diet.
It might, and you are going in the right direction. to really be dealing with the high glycemic foods and really be moving in the direction of understanding the importance of improving your digestion is going to go in a really important direction for you, just generally speaking. So what you're doing sounds great to me. The only thing that kind of concerns me about it is sometimes we get good ideas about, there are lots of good different things that we can take advantage of out there to improve our health. But, sometimes what is a really good thing for one person to do may not be a really good person for another person to do. So generally speaking, it sounds like you're going in the right direction. And if you feel like you're getting improvements with the IBS, then, that's a positive sign. And just to kind of add that and kind of bring it back to what's going on with gout is that, there's kind of like two parts to the whole gout thing as far as I'm concerned. It's like getting the nutrients out of the foods that we eat. So that's why it's important to eat really good nutrient-dense foods in the first place. But also, it's our kidney health. And our kidney health, it's like the kidneys are responsible for either holding on to or letting go of the amount of uric acid in our blood. And what a lot of people don't know is that uric acid, manufactured by our bodies, is actually an antioxidant, and it really plays a really important role in our cardiovascular system especially. And as long as it stays in solution and doesn't crystallize. And so, their kidneys are responsible for either holding on to or letting go of the uric acid to keep the level right in what we need. And so relatively speaking, when you start having a problem with gout, it can be sort of traced back to how well your kidneys are functioning.
Yep.
So, and that can open up just, that's a rabbit hole, anybody can go down to and never return from. because, you know, there are so many different things that can affect our kidneys, from our foods to what's in the pollution that's in the air that we breathe to what our skin has come in contact with over our lifetime. And maybe we have heavy metal burdens from, you know, some job we did as a teenager. You know, we worked with too much paint or too many solvents, or worked around in a mine somewhere and we were breathing it and it was getting in our skin and all that kind of thing.
Worked in boat shops for 8 years.
you worked in what?
Boat shops for 8 years.
Was there lots a lot of toxic?
Lots of epoxy.
Uh-huh. Well, see, that's you know, those kind of things are not good for liver and kidneys. So this, it could be that it's kind of catching up to you now, and all of what you're doing is kind of bringing you back. Maybe you're releasing some of those toxins, like you kind of mentioned earlier. Maybe it's a detox reaction. I mean, who knows for sure? But
yeah.
But, you know, just to give you some kind of an idea of, you know, things to try, if you haven't done the Epsom salt and the ice packs, you know, like with some consistency, maybe try that for a half an hour every day or something like that. That would be good. And what I'd really like is for you to, if you could email me, you know, every week or so and let me know how you're doing with this. Because while it's not common, there are a lot of people that say, you know, I'm over the gout attack, but my feet still hurt or my hand still hurts or something like that. So, you know, it can be sort of any number of things going on with your whole overall system.
So we talked about Epsom salts, we talked about icing and apple cider vinegar.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
The other thing that's kind of in the back of my mind is I'm wondering if I'm on top of or, you know, underneath all of this gout is that I might have arthritis in my feet. And so that when I get a gout attack and things go, you know, go crazy, and as you say, you injure a joint and you swell up because you do all of those things, that's just acerbating whatever, you know, if there's an underlying arthritis problem.
You know, it's totally possible, and actually, I would say probably highly likely.
And is there anything that I can do with that? I mean, I'm going to ask this question. I'm almost going to give you a diatribe. You know, I don't think my doctor knows how to handle gout. You know, the first thing he does is I say, I don't want to treat gout. I don't want to treat it with medicine, because I do want to treat it, is that, you know, the first thing he offers me is, you know, allopurinol, and then after that he offers you a painkiller, indomethacin. And the indomethacin, the last time I took it, I couldn't stand it. It just drove me nuts. So I have a hard time going back to him to discuss this, because I don't feel like we have any, you know, like we have any simpatico going on in this.
Hey Bert, can I chime in? This is Bert, David Freund over here.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, hey, David, go ahead.
Hey, John, your name is John, right?
My name is John, Bert.
John Bert. I thought it was Bert. Anyway,
yeah.
I'd like to turn you on to grounding, because grounding seems to be able to at least possibly take care of most of your, not completely, but it's going to help definitely take care of your IBS, your inflammation, et cetera, et cetera. So I'd love to turn you on to grounding, if that would be the case. I know there might not be enough time right now to talk about that, but you can give me a call if that's okay with Bert, or you can talk to Bert about it. But grounding is phenomenal.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Well, it would be worth trying. So it's called grounding, and
why don't you, Bert, is it okay if I give him my number?
Yeah, absolutely. Please do. Yeah, that's what we're here for.
All right, John. Okay. I'm about ready to blow your mind with grounding or earthing. But anyway, call me. I'm at 760-760-533-7326.
And I need your name again. I'm sorry.
David.
David. I'm sorry, David. I did not get that. Okay. And so you and I will get a call probably before the weekend on grounding.
That's great. And until then, you can just Google it. Google grounding or Google earthing. Like
earthing.
Like the world we live on, you know?
Yeah, I got you.
We are electrical, and the earth is electrical, and we are disconnected for the most part.
Okay. Being going around with bare feet doesn't count, huh?
Well, it does count, definitely.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. David, yeah, that's good. I'm glad you chimed in on that, because that is a great method for working on the problem that you're having. You know, thanks, David. You know, I mean, you're so into that, and it's not something that I've it's not in my repertoire as much as it needs to be. So thank you. Thanks for chiming in. That's excellent.
Sure, thank you.
I love turning people on to good stuff, and you know, I've been battling gout for 15 years, and I have not had an attack for almost over a year now, so... And it's not all because of grounding, it's just because of a lot of things.
I know. It seems to be a lot of things. I mean, I've gone through periods of, you know, not having an attack for 2 or 3 years, and then suddenly, since I've moved to Colorado, suddenly I've had a whole series of attacks, and I'm going crazy.
Give me a call about grounding. I have to take off right now, Bert, and I thank you for your call. I got to fly.
Yeah.
I have a project I got to take care of.
Okay.
But I've been biting my tongue not chiming in about grounding, you know.
I'm glad you did, man. Happy New Year.
Okay. Happy New Year to you guys. All right. See you. Bye-bye.
And I'm bye-bye. Actually going to need to jump off here, too.
No,
John.
I understand. It sounds like you and I ought to get together and meet sometime, and I suppose I can make an arrangement through the website?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, I think you've got my email address, you've got my phone numbers, I think, and if you don't, it's easy to find on the contact page of my website.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Have a great day.
All right. You too.
Bert, you still there?
And I am. Who's
hey, Bert, this is Pete Thompson in Maryland. This is the first time I've called in. I just wanted to say hi real quick. You may remember me. I sent you an email last March about my wife and I going snowboarding and yada yada, and you had replied that your wife was crying when she read the email and all that.
I do remember.
So anyway, thanks for everything, and I know you said you got to go, but I just wanted to let you know I had jumped on here.
Oh man, thank you very, very much, and thank you very much for that email, man. You have no idea how much that means to me.
Yeah, well, we're actually going snowboarding this weekend. So anyway, hey, Happy New Year to you, and let's all live gout free.
All right, thank you. Enjoy the snowboarding.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, bye. Yeah. Well, if anyone else is still on, I just want to say thank you. Happy New Year to everybody. And we're going to get back to the regular Thursday schedule for these calls, noon Mountain Standard Time or whatever it is, Mountain Daylight Time. I get so confused by all of that, but noon in Denver. And also at 2 o'clock on the Thursday the 8th, I do on the second and fourth Thursdays of every month, I'm doing a Google Hangout at 2 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And also I have a little talk, a seminar that I'm doing if you live here in the Denver area. I'm doing another talk at the Natural Grocers at the corner of Colorado and Evans. And it's going to be all about how to stop a gout attack. So that will be happening on Sunday, January 25th at 1 p.m. It's only an hour long. and you'll be out of there in time to go and watch the Broncos game if that's what you're into. So Happy New Year, everybody. Thank you for being on the call, and we're going to have a great 2015. Bye now.
Really?
Yeah, you're drinking, we're not singing.
Oh, shit. Just put all that shit up here, man. What did it mean? No.
Yeah, I gotta go.